Hey everyone, JJ Walsh here. This is Seek Sustainable Japan podcast. This month I'm taking a month off, recovering from surgery, eye surgery in fact, and just taking some time off, watching lots of YouTube on my TV. And I started watching loads of videos by Mr. Beast on YouTube. And I was really impressed with his formula for viral generosity. So this is from a Medium article I wrote. Lots of ideas I just want to throw out at you. I hope they stick. Hope it inspires you. And you have a great day. Follow the links below if you're interested in following up on any of this info. So YouTuber Mr. Beast, formula for success seems to be kindness and collaboration. So I think that can inspire us all. With more than 406 million subscribers, Jimmy Donaldson, better known as Mr. Beast on YouTube, has become one of the most successful YouTubers by doing outrageous acts of generosity. The fact that Mr. Beast's strategy of using video revenue, sponsorship, and collaboration to fund life-changing projects around the world is an inspiration to any of us who are trying to go above and beyond the status quo to do good for others and the environment, for our communities, our families, even for ourselves. Spending a month off work this month was a perfect excuse to binge Mr. Beast's unscripted reality game show, which just came out a few months ago, called Beast Games on Amazon Prime. And I was in good company as I was one of 50 million viewers which watched the show in its first month. I got a lot out of it, actually, watching the game show. It was fun, of course, but then got a lot more than I expected, and followed up by watching all of the videos on the Mr. Beast philanthropy channel. It was really incredible to learn about all the amazing projects he's done around the world since making the nonprofit Beast Philanthropy in 2020. But to be honest, the Beast Games reality show really was what led me there. It was an entertaining blend of reality show drama, inspiring stories of friendship, teamwork, leadership, and overcoming personal as well as game show related challenges. Now, still recovering, I followed up with more videos about behind the scenes or BTS videos, which gave me a lot more respect for all the work that it took to make such a huge production as this game show, which broke loads of world records for giving away the most money, having the most contestants. It was just incredible. And the editing and all the film work was just really fun to watch as well. It's not like any reality show I've ever seen. But watching the BTS shows really showed me how even choosing the participants for the show was an insanely time-consuming process. In my own little talk show, Seek Sustainable Japan, I just completed last year, 2024, my 500th interview. Such a big deal. But it took me 5 years. And for each of the live interviews I did, I would spend at least 2 days of prep work, researching and getting images together and getting ready for the talk, which was an hour. But for Beast Games, they vetted and interviewed over 100,000 people in less than a year to get those first 2,000 participants selected in the first round. And then half of that group then made up the first 1,000 contestants, which we see in episode one on the platforms of Beast Games. Now, the costs of Beast Games was incredible to learn that it's estimated they spent more than $100 million for the total amount of money spent on equipment. More than 1,000 cameras were used in the first episode, building elaborate sets, as well as an entirely new 500-person capacity Beast City complex where the contestants would live in Toronto, Canada. So many people also had to be employed in Las Vegas, Toronto, and Panama as they were vetting out the candidates and getting everybody ready and housing people during the games to set up for the run. of the games. Now, as someone, I couldn't turn it off. As someone passionate about sustainability, it was disappointing to learn that the Beast City that they created for $14 million was a single-use installation, and they dismantled and destroyed it after the games. It really made me think how amazing it would be to see a reusable Beast City complex in the future that can be used over and over again for each games. In fact, in between the games, it could also function as a tourist spot, kind of like Universal Studios or how the Olympic stadiums work after the games are held. That would significantly reduce construction waste, which we know is one of the biggest in the world, while also adding more enjoyment and economic value. I think it would really blow people's minds to build the next Beast City for the next season of the games, which has already been decided, using traditional Japanese building style joinery, where all the beams are fitted together beautifully without nails, so that they can be dismantled, moved, and rebuilt without damage over and over. It is possible. It's actually possible to bring an existing traditional house from Japan, and we have a lot which are available and not in use and need to be taken care of. They could buy these on the cheap in Japan and bring them to America or wherever they're having the games and rebuild it for the contestants to stay in, just like they did in Huntington Gardens in LA. They built this beautiful tea house from Japan. So it is possible. And Kominka Collective, Andrea Carlson, who I talked to on my show, she talks about how that's what their business does. They try to preserve these traditional houses in Japan by taking them apart and dismantling them, taking them around the world, rebuilding them so that people can use them. They're amazingly valuable structures, but you can get them for a real bargain. And this could be another giveaway bonus prize of an authentic traditional Japanese house to a contestant. We have such a housing shortage around the world, and especially in America. So I've put the links below for Kominka Collective. I am also sure that carpenter John Stollenmeyer, who's based in Okayama, not far from me from Hiroshima, who gave me a tour, and I put the link below here as well, of his beautifully renovated house below that he uses as a showroom as well as his house. But he works on so many great projects around Okayama and around different areas of Japan. I am sure he has some great traditional houses which would also work. So definitely get in touch if you are interested in reusing some of these traditional, beautiful Japanese houses. Back to Beast Games and the show. The stunts and the Squid Game-like games of chance and skill were really entertaining, but it was getting to know the contestants that really drew me in. Everyone playing the game was set up with personal cameras so they could share their stories at any time. 24/7, all the data was being collected. They talked about how they needed so much data centers and computers to be built to store all the data. The editors had quite the job trying to go through all the stories and have the story arcs and the storylines in there. Editing was done really well. So you really got a sense of who these competitors were. Everyone playing the games had their own cameras, like I said. But it's interesting to see their take and hear their feelings as they're going through the games as well. Now, while some people just wanted to get rich and have fun, as you would expect for a reality show, many people did share their hardships and a real desperation to get out of debt and support their families. This is typical of many reality shows I've seen, and there's no doubt that people are struggling in 2025. But for many of the critics of the show, this raised ethical concerns of exploiting people's struggles. For example, if you think like of dystopian science fiction movies like Hunger Games, they're exploiting the desperation of people. I thought there was more emphasis on team building as I was watching and how to overcome personal challenges, much more than exploiting desperation in Beast Games. But of course, always room for improvement. But one of the ideas I had while watching it was, wouldn't it be great if there was like a Shark Tank meets Mr. Beast vision for Beast Games? That would be one way to improve the Beast Games in the future and add more impact and meaning to the stories. It would be great to see how the strategies that Jimmy uses for Beast Philanthropy could turn into side projects and extra deeper stories intertwined with the Beast Games reality show. How about adding a surprise wrinkle to the challenges in the game show by pre-selecting 100 of the participants who have a vision for a better future for themselves and their community in some way? So if participants, as they apply to be in the games, if they wanted to also submit a proposal alongside their Beast Games application to share their vision for how to use the money to fill a need in their community, then they could also elaborate on that in the interview as they're being vetted for the show. By adding this extra challenge of a chance to win enough seed money to start a business, a nonprofit, a school, a training program, or to learn special skills that would be life-changing for them, it could really tap into a population of more engaging and motivated players for the audience to cheer for and who really want to support. And it would be something ongoing, like many of other projects that Mr. Beast has done, where it's once it's set up, it's ongoing. You can check back in year on year and see how things are progressing. It could really be like Shark Tank meets Mr. Beast. We could get angel investors like Mark Cuban or Bill and Melinda Gates to choose the startup business plans. Or you could get Grow Your Own Food mentors like the gangster gardener Ron Findlay or Michelle Obama, who's worked with many young women in America on community building and supporting each other. You could get mentors like these to collaborate on these side projects, which would really add more impact, engagement, and long-term value to the Beast Games. Collaborations with existing influencers, mentors, skilled professionals, nonprofits, and groups which already have the experience and the infrastructure so that you hit the ground running with these projects, with funding of meaningful projects that'll change communities and change lives. And this is actually something Mr. Beast already excels at doing. Now, another thing about joining a reality show, of course, you have opportunity cost. So choosing one thing over another has an opportunity cost for the thing you didn't choose. So for participants taking time off work, school, or family to join the competition, that's a cost. Many people on the show talked about how they had to ask for family support to watch the kids or quit their jobs or school or use up years of holiday time in order to join the contest. Now, knowing about personal sacrifices shows a stronger commitment, and it was nice to hear that no contestant actually walked away empty-handed. Everyone got at least $2,000, even if they were knocked out in the first round. Now, when you consider that the average income in the U.S. is only around $3,000 a month, it's a generous consolation prize. No other game show I've seen has ever offered. According to Mr. Beast's interview online, he said this season there were over $20 million in prizes given away and 85 winners of those prizes. Every single player who competed was given $2,000 for playing throughout the season. And Beast Games, this first inaugural season, broke a total of 50 world records. Really impressive. Now, of course, it's not just about the money value of doing the games. There are four big non-monetary benefits of being a contestant on Beast Games. You have bragging rights. Everyone who took part as a contestant or even a hired employee has bragging rights to be part of this world record holding unique experience. For the rest of their lives, they'll be able to share insider stories of applying and playing in the games, valuable whether they win money or not. It's something fun and interesting that will always be a part of their story. The point of celebrity. So many contestants took part because they were already YouTubers or social media influencers who were leveraging their experience to boost their likes and social media followers. The winner, hide your ears if you haven't watched it yet, Jeff Allen, who won the $10 million top prize, he was inspired to join Beast Games to become a celebrity champion and raise awareness for a disease his son suffers from. Jeff has had a positive effect on raising awareness, which leads to greater research and support of people with creatine transporter deficiency, CTD, which his son suffers from. And he was inspired to join the games, to sign up for the games, because he went to a conference and one of the speakers was talking about, we need a celebrity to champion this cause, to get awareness out there, to tell people what it's about. And his seven-year-old told him about signing up for Beast Games. So it was a real great combination of influences there that got him to sign up, and he ended up being the top prize winner. Amazing. Another non-monetary value to joining the games is creating deep friendships. Like most reality shows, the military, volunteer groups, surviving disasters with your community, these contestants were able to make great friendships and deeper connections with others by battling for common goals. Teamwork is an age-old way to build camaraderie. Now, the last key point, I thought, which was non-monetary but still valuable, is that the money was not a handout. Psychologically, we know that humans do not value things they are given too freely or too easily. Even the act of applying for the games with a reason, having to apply, having to give reasons why you want to join, adds value and motivation. Also, add working toward a goal, stepping up as a leader, or even stepping down as a sacrifice to help others, which actually happened a lot in the games, which was really a surprise to see. And that is such a positive character building boost in life. I have a link below for more ideas about how effort and value is created psychologically with the conversation. Now, the audience of the Beast Games, according to Forbes, more than 50 million people watched the show in the first 28 days, and more than 50% of the viewers were outside America, which shows the demand for this non-scripted reality show is very global. And it's also interesting to see how much interest there is outside of the U.S. Most YouTube audiences used to be mainly the U.S., but even YouTube is becoming much more global. Now, unfortunately, no good deed goes unpunished. So even though I was so impressed watching all of the Mr. Beast videos about philanthropy, the viral generosity, just insane projects he does to really help other people, there's a lot of criticism of even people who are so obviously doing good in the world. And in the interview above, I've linked below about Good Morning America, Jimmy Donaldson answered some of the criticisms of Beast Games. He responded to complaints really humbly, showing integrity by saying he had personally talked to more than 700 people to follow up after the show, and he was sure everyone was very enthusiastic to return. So that's what you want to hear from leaders who are trying to have a sustainability mindset, right? To assess the problems, to try to follow up, reassess, improve, and then plan on future assessment. That's the cycle we expect from ethical leaders. Now, why do critics take down people doing good? Critics bashed Jimmy's viral generosity as opportunistic, exploitative, self-serving, but this is nothing new for do-gooders, unfortunately. Mr. Beast is in good company with do-good innovators and entrepreneurs worldwide who have also been heavily criticized despite the great work they do. Doing something better puts people not striving above the status quo to feel defensive. I remember my surprise years ago when talking to organic farmers, and I've talked to many organic farmers on my show. I'll put the link to all the talks below. But many of them say they are often pressured not to grow things naturally without pesticides from other farmers, because other farmers argue it makes them look bad. Or sometimes zero waste shopkeepers or people trying to have a zero waste life are pressured by their supply chain to accept more of the plastic packaging. They don't want to change, so they don't want them to change. Or food bank managers frustrated by the red tape of collecting food before it goes to waste. Why is it so hard? So people trying to do good, but other people trying to put roadblocks in their way. So there are so many frustrations for people going above and beyond for the greater good. So quite often after talking to do-gooders working so hard and persevering, I often ask, why? Why do you keep doing it? And quite often they keep answering, because it's the right thing to do. So that internal drive, that internal strong ethic to keep going. Talking about why we hate the good guys as part of human nature, Forenberry Murray, summary of the latest psychological research on why we criticize people doing good work. Most of the time we like the cooperators, the good guys. We like it when the bad guys get the comeuppance and when non-cooperators are punished. But some of the time cooperators are the ones that get punished. People will dislike the really good guys. This pattern has been found in every culture in which it has been looked at. Isn't that incredible? And there's so many elements there which really connect to the reality show idea of working together, people choosing money over their team or not choosing money over their team, right? A lot of fights between good and evil. Being a good member of a group, being a do-gooder and a villain. These are all classic things we love to read about and, of course, watch on reality TV shows. Mr. Beast is in good company of do-gooders who are often heavily criticized. For example, Patagonia's founder, Jan Schunard. He was heavily criticized when he changed the business structure of Patagonia to focus more on meeting environmental goals and less on making profits. And a lot of critics said it was just to avoid tax and it lacks transparency and it belittles the positive impact. But it wasn't just that. In many other ways, over the years, he had shown how Patagonia was better than the status quo, was having repair stations in the shops, was reusing waste materials, was finding more ethical places to make the clothes. So having that long history of ethical behavior and then doing something bold really shows that people already trust you as a brand and they don't trust the critics quite as much. Plus, it's an ongoing long-term thing, right? Another example is the ocean cleanup founder, Boyan Slat, has been criticized despite doing on a mass scale what no other organization or government or business has been doing by taking tons of plastic pollution out of our rivers and oceans, reducing microplastics that affect our health, marine life, as well as impact tourism, the economy. There's so many negative effects from all this plastic pollution. And Ocean Cleanup is one of the only ones doing anything about it. But still, people criticize. So as long as you stick to it over the long term, you're as transparent as you can be, you will, in the end, be proven to be the hero, to be the do-gooder. And you've got this big group of support around you. Now, even proven successful sustainable solutions like solar and wind is often criticized as well. So these clean technologies help us decrease carbon, give us energy security where we need it in our homes and offices where we're using energy. And it's relatively cheap and quick to set up and get to start working. But still, critics argue that solar panels are ugly, expensive, which is not true. Now it's the cheapest energy source in history. They argue it can't be recycled, but it can. I'll link to a Japan Times article below where they're talking about setting up recycling centers now that solar panels are being at the end of their 20 to 30 year lifespan. We've had ours for over 10 years, still going strong. And I've had mine in Hawaii for over 30 years, still working. So we don't really know how long they can last. But instead of going to landfill, for sure we want to figure out how to recycle them. And that's already starting to be a conversation. Or that wind power kills birds. But they've found that painting the blades different colors helps. So it's easier for birds to see and avoid. So we do have solutions. We do have problems sometimes, but in the grand scheme of things, compared to fossil fuel, compared to nuclear, compared to even hydropower making dams, solar and wind are, in terms of the circular view of using the resources to make it, what happens with the waste at the end of the life of the product, with this long-term assessment of success, really solar and wind stand out as our best choice for energy transition, yet people still criticize. So isn't it impressive that despite criticism, people do keep stepping up into leadership roles, trying to innovate, trying to create, and push toward that common good? One important reason they keep going, I think, is something we can all help with, even from the outer circle, by offering encouragement and support. On YouTube, this means liking, subscribing, writing positive comments, and sharing the videos, which is so key to not only maintaining the do-gooders' motivation. Having that positive response really means a lot. There's too many negative comments. But also stroking the algorithm for the AdSense Google payout success, which helps them financially to keep going. Now, leaders, do-good leaders, need to have supportive people around them to provide guidance, emotional support, and perspective when the haters descend. Mr. Beast seems to have both a loyal fan base as well as many loyal fellow YouTubers. Nonprofit organizations and business collaborators, in addition to supportive family and friends to keep him going. So I'm sure that was a part of the reason for his success over these last 10 years, and we hope it continues to support him as he goes forward. His Beast Philanthropy. I really enjoyed watching Curiosity Stream. They did an origin story biography video about Mr. Beast, his YouTube and philanthropic journey, how it all started, giving a random homeless man $10,000, and how it changed that man's life, and then following up with other videos where he really overtipped pizza delivery drivers and taxi drivers hundreds of dollars, and then saw how that changed their lives. They were able to take a day off, spend time with family. Then donating food for empty food banks. There was a real sense of achievement when he was able to hand his mom a check for $100,000 to pay off her house mortgage. Wow, what a powerful video that was. And then so many videos of viral kindness, which has become a real theme of his video for more than 10 years. And not something anyone else I've seen has been able to successfully replicate. Now, Beast Philanthropy was officially launched in 2020 as a registered nonprofit. They have worked in collaboration with many businesses and nonprofits around the world to really get these projects they want to do started quickly using the existing networking, existing infrastructure of these groups. Now, some of the ones that really stood out to me was some of these projects that I'll mention now. have a real lasting legacy for the Mr. Beast Philanthropy Project channel. Now, he is from North Carolina, so there's a lot of projects that centered around his hometown. And then he's done projects as far as many parts of Africa, Nepal, Jamaica, Costa Rica. And the hard part, I think, is having a vision for how to make such a big impact. And the projects below are still continuing to have positive impact, even years after the initial goal has already been met. One of these projects that really stand out is Team Trees, where 20 million trees have been planted. The goal has been met and still growing. Now, like most of Mr. V's viral projects, Team Trees started with an insane goal to plant 20 million trees by raising $20 million by 2020. Jimmy Donaldson teamed up with NASA scientist turned content creator Mark Rober. They collaborated with Arbor Day Foundation and crowdfunded over $24.8 million to plant over 24.8 million trees. You can still join by donating, as well as see how their campaign is going if you search for Team Trees. Another huge impactful project is taking ocean plastic out of the waterways. They have done more than 34 million pounds or 15.4 million kilograms of ocean plastics in this project. And once again, Jimmy Donaldson teamed up with Mark Rober, and they collaborated with two mega ocean cleanup organizations, entrepreneur Boyan Slat's Innovative Ocean Cleanup, using the robots, as well as joining up with their projects to really clean up a lot more than people can clean up by hand on beach cleans. And the worldwide ocean advocate, the Ocean Conservancy, to take on an insane amount of beach, river, and ocean cleanup across the world. They have already surpassed the goal, but Team Seas, you can search for that hashtag, is still going. And hopefully we'll go far into the future because we still have a lot more to clean up. Another one that really stood out was about access to clean water. So he did projects across Africa to build 100 wells. In the videos linked below, he goes and realizes how difficult it is for people to access water, which seems like a basic human right. He ended up building bridges in some areas, building wells where kids were walking hours over mountains to get water. So access to water, just huge change on communities. And he collected 152,000 donations for the project and was able to build over 100 wells. It's so unfortunate that people around the world, even in the U.S., often don't have access to clean drinking water. Environmental racism is often described to describe how poorer, marginalized communities often suffer more from pollution, lack affordable housing, yet have higher utility fees, less access to fresh food, and also less access to clean water for drinking. And of course, this results in lower quality of life. The United Nations often talks about how clean water, access to drinking water, is a major worldwide issue, with drinking water resources decreasing and now increasingly exacerbated by climate change. Now, affordable housing is one of the top issues worldwide and an issue that comes up again and again on Beast Philanthropy, Jimmy's videos, where they have built hundreds of homes in different disaster-struck areas in the U.S. and other parts of the world in collaboration with public and private partnerships. Beast Philanthropy works with government organizations like FEMA, existing nonprofit volunteer organizations in the U.S. and abroad, like Food for the Poor, New Story Homes, and TECO, as well as commercial products and brands promoting in the video, which help fund the cost of doing the project abroad. So it's a really interesting and successful formula in how to get the funds to do the projects, which makes the video so entertaining and so inspiring, and then that funds the project more or funds future projects. In addition to collaborations, he raises money from AdSense, paid by Google or YouTube, to creators for the number of people watching ads on the videos. They also do crowdfunding, product placement in the videos, and other monetization methods like monthly memberships on the channel. The result is entertaining videos people want to watch, which also highlights good work. The families who benefit share their gratitude to create the feel-good story. The content raises awareness of the greater needs of these issues around the world. And also, this is a model of ethical and kind behavior, which inspires viewers also to do good in their own lives. Some other amazingly insane acts of kindness. He took on drug addiction. He promoted good education by building schools, supporting and training teachers, buying school supplies. He took on healthcare, building solar panels in the mountains of Nepal at a hospital to help give power to the community. He did a project to provide 2,000 amputees new legs. He's done different work with amputees and people with hearing difficulties, vision, facial reconstruction for being born with deformities, that kind of thing. Rebuilt orphanages in South Africa. Rescued child slaves in Ghana, saved endangered animals from extinction. There's just so many topics he's already done. It's really inspiring. But of course, if you have a cause, if you have a vision for a project which would really make a big difference wherever you are, you should definitely make a video about it, tag him, and I'm sure he'd consider it. Because it's part of his model, is supporting these meaningful projects around the world. Speaking of feeling inspired, I spent most of my last 2 weeks watching all the Beast Philanthropy videos, Beast Games, and even documentaries about his personal journey. And not only are the projects and people inspiring, but also the do-good content creator gives me ideas for how to elevate my own videos and projects here in Japan. My channel, so small, but so happy to have passed 1 million views and have 5,000 subscribers. The monthly AdSense pays me about $30 a month, which I do pass on, and hope the more my channel grows, the more I can pass on to do good businesses and entrepreneurs in Japan. So as of 2025, I'm donating 5,000 yen a month to support the refill water app, less plastic, more fun startup called MyMizu. You can download the app and find out where you can fill up your water bottles for free around Japan, which is hopefully a growing resource that we have, especially now it's getting hotter. Now, it's so encouraging to learn that even mega influencers like Jimmy Donaldson started so small. It's essential to keep on brand creating quality content that builds up, collaborates, and uses existing organizations, businesses, and government to start projects with industry experts and insiders. It's also important to keep in mind that there will always be critics, so brace yourself for the criticism, no matter how much good work you're doing. But in the grand scheme of things, it feels good to do good. And the world needs more collaborative do-gooders like us. Mr. Beast is an innovator who has discovered a really fun way to fund his videos from viral acts of kindness. So many viewers are so touched and encouraged by these insanely kind projects, and thankfully, this formula just keeps working. Of course, we can't depend solely on YouTubers and the generosity of the rich and wealthy to fill the gaps in our society. We need to elect leaders that work to provide a percentage of our tax to provide back essential services for us that help our communities thrive. But we can't ignore that the gap exists. And once you see the greater positive effect of the Mr. Beast projects on the lives of so many people, as well as support of the planet and assistance to local economies, such big thanks for all the great work Mr. Beast is doing. Our world is certainly a better place with you in it. Keep up the good work, Jimmy. Now, it's encouraging to see his team continue to inspire, collaborate, and entertain with so many incredible do-good projects worldwide. But it's also a good chance for each and every one of us to dream of what a better future looks like and start working hard toward achieving it. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Take care.